Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we're going to step out on a ledge here, but we're going to go out as factually as we can. So we're going to try to compile a list with supporting information. Who had motive to have Charlie Kirk killed? This no doubt will be somewhat controversial, but you don't think this has already happened with the police and the FBI? And the stand down factor in the middle of all the public criticism is stunning. Welcome to our show. We're really glad to be with you. And I'm still shaking my head. I'm still in disbelief that Charlie is gone. And I don't know if you have this reaction or not, but when I watch tapes of Charlie and his interaction with the young, it's hard for me to watch. It's like a lost love, realizing this will never happen again. And then you look at how skilled he was. It'd be like trying to replace a generational talent in basketball like Michael Jordan. That's how difficult it is. Anyway, we are brought to you by the product that saved yours truly life. This doesn't cure anything when you're thinking, well, then what good does it do? This NanoSoma liquid spray, maintenance dose, five sprays once a day, crisis dosage, unlimited because it's all natural, can't hurt you. When I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, Scotty Sachs to the rescue, my partner in Sovereign Radio. This is something I just wish I could get everyone in America to take. It's restorative, it's preventative, and I'm here because of it. Strip lung linings, negative prognosis. Dave, it's all downhill from here. Now, I wasn't going to accept it. And with the grace of God and this product, I bounce back and I'm doing things I haven't done in 25 years. What do? You go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, who did it? And this is important to me. And I really wanted it to be clean, simple, case closed, solved. Very few, if any, unanswered questions. And that's not what we got. We got a horse crap investigation from the local authorities who wussed out, gave up their jurisdictional authority to the FBI, who did a worse job. It's been so bad that I speculated that the FBI, constrained by political, excuse me, concerns, well, really just constrained by political concerns. The FBI did a crappy job, but they did it so badly that they wanted people like you and me and Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham to step up and say, this crap isn't even believable. This is a worse cover story than the JFK assassination and all the other nonsense assassinations that we have seen since the 1960s of a major nature. This is the JFK event of our generation. Let's hope it stops here. Let's hope it stops here. Who had motive? I can only come up with two motives. One, let's believe the official doctrine for a moment, shall we? That a kid who walked with a limp, walked with a limp, fired a shot straight away from what, 140 yards? That's a chip shot. He had anti-fascist statements on his bullets, trying to implicate Antifa. They found documentation, we don't know much about that, that seemed to be he was aligned with Antifa philosophical underpinnings. We're talking Tyler Robinson. And somehow they kept bringing up his trans lover as if that's a factor in anything. Unless this was a co-conspirator or the person who really did it, the sexual status is irrelevant to the case. Yet it was constantly repeated by the mainstream media as a mantra. Let's just talk about logistics for a second. For Charlie to have been hit in the jugular, official explanation at the angle of the rooftop shot, 8 degrees, the shot would have had to go through Charlie's teeth. It did not. And then we only see a grainy video of some individual running without a limp across a rooftop and jumping off. We don't see a gun, yet we're supposed to believe assemble the gun, disassembled the gun and got away in record time. What is wrong with this? There's not clear and convincing evidence. And then there's a controversy on how he got turned in. And where's the family? And why isn't there the media camp out with the family of Tyler Robinson, as we'd expect to see with anybody else? It's almost like hear no evil, see no evil. We don't want to be bothered by this. I think you can tell I totally discount Tyler Robinson did not do this shooting. This is not an endorsement of his character or anything else. But just from a straight forensic standpoint, and let me put the final dagger, or let me put it more accurately, the final nail in the coffin. If he shot a 30-06, I can't find a sniper who understands how this works. I talked to someone, I'm not bringing his name into it, but he's had over 50 kills as a sniper. And he said the 30-06 would have taken his head off. His neck would have been pulverized. It wasn't. It wasn't. We can just keep going down this rabbit hole. It was the worst investigation ever. But some people persist, and perhaps, someone could convince me Lee Oswald shot JFK. They can't, but maybe they could. We can get in a time machine, go back to 1963, be on the sixth floor of the depository, and before we have to beam back to our time, maybe there'd be something there to convince me. That's about what it would take. Well, I'm right there with that with regard to Tyler Robinson. I don't think they can allow him to go to trial. You can read between the lines. But I don't think they can let him go to trial because I don't think they can get a conviction with an honest judge. Boy, that's a stretch today, isn't it? And an honest jury. And who's the defense attorney? We don't even know anything about the background. Is he a plant, a stooge, someone appointed, as I've heard, by the prosecution, which is unheard of? This is the persisting rumor. The frame up seems to be in evidence. And I will tell you this, I wish this case with Charlie had that kind of an ending. And what's disturbing to me, and I've put this out on all social media, my podcasts, I'm going to keep saying it. Why isn't TPUSA questioning this horse crap investigation the same as I am? I could buy into the fact that the family isn't because it's just too traumatic and it's not going to bring him back anyway. So people say, well, that's guilt for the family. I don't think so. I think that proves nothing. But TPUSA, people who love Charlie, stood by Charlie, believed in what Charlie did. And they're looking at the same horse crap investigation that I am. I mean, these people wouldn't get out of Crime Lab 101 with what they've done. But TPUSA, you're strangely silent, except in one area that I'll bring into part two, which I'm ready to move into. Part two. Part two. Someone or an interest connected to pro-Israeli lobby. And I have to give my typical disclaimer. I am a Christian, And I believe very much in the sanctity of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Lord as expressed in the Bible. I don't have any question. I have rooted for Israel's victory in every single war they've been in, except the last one I said, why won't you stop? That's another topic for another time. Six-Day War, their initial independence, which was nothing short of miraculous, heroic, and had, I believe, God's intervention in it. I'm talking 1940s, when the U.S. stood down and wouldn't give official support. It was amazing what they accomplished. Golda Meir, former, same as me, Denver area resident, leader, at a time when women weren't leaders of countries. There was so much to admire. Overcame all the odds to become a formidable force in the world. But as they say, power corrupts and corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. I'm going to say this too. The people of Israel, the good people of Israel, do not want Netanyahu. There is no question. You lift up the hood and look under the covers of the politics there. At the time when October 7th happened, there were hundreds of thousands of people protesting in the streets against Netanyahu and they wanted him gone. He's unpopular. Let's go through some things that trouble me. Let's start off with George Zinn, who I've dubbed Decoy Boy. And in an earlier segment yesterday, I broke it down. But I didn't come to conclusions because I knew I was going to do this today. He did his LDS mission near Langley, Virginia. He gave testimony at 9/11. He was caught making a phone-in bomb threat at a marathon event and got to walk. More valuable on the outside to some people than in jail. And then you go, the area in Utah that he was in was a popular recruiting ground for both the CIA and FBI. Why would anyone, rather than duck and hide for cover, as 99.999 dot 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 percent of the people were doing, except for the guys that disassembled the video cameras and took out the SIM cards, except for them and George Zinn, who stood up. I did it. I did it. Why would anyone do this? Why? And I guarantee you, at some point in time, George is going to walk. Why? Because if he ain't CIA, it's sure one hell of a good imitation. And then we start linking. MI6 is usually a control CEO of the intelligence agencies. They control the Mossad, the CIA, to a large extent, many operations, and I want to say joint operations. But if this was a hit from someone inside the Israeli government, the Mossad would have been involved, but they wouldn't have been involved on American soil without CIA permission and probably participation. Enter George Zinn. I'm strongly suspicious about this connection, and yet no one is looking at it from the FBI. If ever you had a case for FBI involvement and usurping jurisdictional power away from state authorities, it would be George Zinn. But yet we hear nothing about Decoy Boy, is what he's being called. Okay. Candace Owens, and I've commented on this before. She unveiled a text communication using a secure app, but wasn't that secure because it got leaked. But I'm sure by someone inside of TPUSA who didn't like the direction this was going. And when Charlie was dead 2 days after this, yeah, that's how it got out. It's how it got in Charlie's hands. Not, excuse me, I say Charlie's hands. I wish Charlie could have foreseen what was coming, I think, as a result of this. Candace knows everybody who's involved, and she's named a couple of people. Fervent pro-Israeli at any cost supporters, fervent. People said, Candace, you're a liar. You're doing this for clickbait. You're trying to resurrect your losing career. This is what people were saying about her. I don't think there's anything losing about Candace Owens. But to his credit, Andrew Colvett, the head of communications, the producer of the Charlie Kirk podcast, he came out publicly on Jesse Waters and said, that's true. This is accurate. This communication happened. I released it to the FBI. Well, hold on here. Kash Patel, you got some explaining to do. Now I'll leave it there. You got explaining to do. He's not that incompetent. The people that work at the FBI are not that incompetent. There is an element there that's that corrupt, spying on eight senators. But Kash Patel, Dan Bongino were not part of that. But why did they drop the ball? Like I said, it's my contention that they conducted such a crappy investigation that it would keep people like me looking at this. In fact, the FBI botched this so bad, and it was Decoy Boy that actually put me in the mindset where I got to jump into this. Remember, I avoided the forensic discussion that distracted us from the Kennedy situation for 30 years. And for that reason. But I felt, okay, this is so bad. The Tyler Robinson story is so unbelievable. And I wanted to believe it. I wanted to be up and in open and shut case so we could move forward with Charlie's work. But that's not what happened. And Andrew Colvett, if he did indeed turn this over to the FBI as he claims, was he trying to avoid prosecution because he knew something was dirty? Hey, I gave you the info. No, didn't really have foreknowledge. There were some things out there maybe we should have seen, but there was no way to really show I knew what was going to happen. But just to CYA, FBI, this communication's accurate. Candace was right. Then we go down the road of a crappy investigation left open-ended. It's now in the court's hands, and there's so much. Where's the defense attorney saying my client's innocent? We're going to show that the prosecution doesn't have a case. I mean, put public pressure on the prosecution to put up or shut up. We don't know if there's been discovery hearings. We know nothing about impending or already occurred jury selection. I mean, you would think the CIA has made this a clandestine investigation and court trial. And they're controlling it and obscuring it from everybody else. I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm saying this is what it puts me in the mind of. Go back to those of you who are old enough to remember the OJ case. Every single thing connected to the case was publicly scrutinized. And here, nothing, not a word, silence. And if you say anything, you're just clickbaiter, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're just trying to build your career on the legacy of Charlie Kirk, and it's too soon, and how dare you, you bastard, you. And if you say anything negative about Israel potential connection, you're anti-Semitic, even if you're not. I mean, this is what Candace has got. Yet she was correct in that we've already lost a $2 million donor. No, we can't bring Candace back. And you can't become anti-Israel. And Charlie Kirk concludes the conversation like, we need to reevaluate, and we are not going to just be unquestionably pro-Israel. Charlie was disgusted by how far the Gaza situation went. He questioned on the PBD show that why was the Israeli stand down so pronounced 6 hours when they should have been able to cover it, at least with aerial cover, within 3 minutes? That's what they brag. That's what they've always bragged. No one crossed that border, but wait a minute, there was a stand down of patrols in the area. And Charlie brought all that up. I've played the tape. I've played the tape. And then there's Netanyahu's suspicious behavior. I mean, Charlie's body's still warm, and Netanyahu comes out, oh, we had nothing to do with it. And he was a great friend of Israel. He wrote this love letter to us, but we can't let you see it. We're only going to show you small excerpts. We don't even know it's real. Suspicious behavior. As I pointed out previously, Shakespeare would say, "I think thou doth protest too loudly." It's what guilty people do. This isn't indicting the Jewish people. They want Netanyahu gone. By the way, I do too. I think world peace would be enhanced with a different leader in Israel. That's just my personal opinion, which really has very little to do with this case. But let's also talk about it's been uncovered, reported by Candace and others, that Netanyahu made some really interesting predictions that, well, Charlie could be taken out months before. And I think Charlie really began to turn publicly against being unquestionably pro-Israel with no, absolute no. Well, let's put it this way, no conditions. But easily, I mean, he was in the White House lobbying against bombing Iran. I think Charlie was wrong on that. I welcomed bombing Iran. Anything we can do to keep Iran from being nuclear, I agree with. But right now, Israel's trying to drag us into a war with Iran. Netanyahu, you know where you can go and what you can do when you get there. You're not getting our kids. You're not getting our young men. We're going to handle this without boots on the ground. You want boots on the ground? Be our guest. We are not going to be a part of it. And I'll tell you what, the young people approved of Netanyahu and his foreign policy in single digits. And that ain't going to change. And so, what does Netanyahu do to counter all this negativity? He comes out and he calls people like Candace the woke Reich. Reich, R-E-I-C-H, Nazi, the woke Reich, meaning the woke right. So you're an extremist if you don't want boots on the ground supporting Netanyahu's imperialistic desires. I'm all for protecting Israel. And I have said that many times through the years, and I've gotten criticism. No, you're a Zionist, Dave. No, I'm also a pragmatist. We need the Israeli alliance in the Middle East as a quick reaction force. I've said that as a citizen since I was a kid. Any moron can see the necessity. But what we don't need is imperialistic ventures on behalf of a foreign power that lobbies illegitimately members of Congress. Have you heard what Matt Gaetz, former congressman, is saying about AIPAC? And it makes my case that if you want to truly have control of your government, America, you would demand and unelect everybody until this happens. No campaign donations. None. Zero. Nada. And then you enter in Bill Ackman, okay, and these other billionaires who, although they're Americans, golly gee, folks, they put Israel over America. This is why you can't have dual citizens in Congress, because of the conflicts of interest. Defense posture, yes. Anything beyond that, no way in hell. That's reasonable. And that doesn't make anyone who believes that to be anti-Semitic. First of all, we can't afford another war. Taking a look at the economy and what Biden did to it. We can't afford it. We're still undoing that mess. Now, I'm going to say this right here, right now. A lot of people are saying Netanyahu will execute a false flag either against America or against Israel. That'll be so horrific that war fever will be stirred up and we'll have our Pearl Harbor moment. And if you believe the Japan, we didn't know the Japanese were coming. Well, you haven't read a history book because McCollum and the 8-point plan followed to the T, designed to provoke the American people to a fever pitch with a surprise attack that was no surprise except for the people that were stationed in Hawaii. I think it's possible we could be looking at that. And by talking about it, doesn't mean that anyone is guilty of it yet, or even that there's a plot. We're just saying we're ready for whatever BS you throw at us because we're not putting boots on the ground. See, there's a difference between defending your ally and defending your ally's imperialistic notions. And I will tell you, Iran's military is no joke. Oh, would we defeat them? Yeah, with how many body bags? And what would happen to the great alliances that we need for oil production, world stability, economic stability, with our soon formed, recently formed Arab allies? Qatar, Syria. Oh, and I don't like what's going on inside of Syria. Just ask any Christian. But at least we have a relationship with them. It's more than we had with Assad. And of course, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. All that would be done if we are totally on board with Netanyahu. That's why Israel's better off with a moderate leader. They're going to have to coexist because I'm not in support of invading every Middle Eastern country so Israel can dominate. But that's not the mission of the Mossad, AIPAC, and Netanyahu. And caught in the middle, just as badly as America is potentially, are the good people of Israel. Now, let's bring this back home. What does this have to do with Charlie? There's plenty of motive there because Charlie had clearly jumped ship. He could no longer be controlled. He was turning away donors, and donors turned him away that were unquestionably, you better be 100% pro-Israel or we're yanking our money. There were feverish arguments and disagreements within TPUSA that have surfaced, and the proof and receipts are there. Thank you, Candace, and thank you, Andrew Kovat. They have all the proof we need about the dissent, which makes even more suspicious why people in Turning Point aren't officially questioning this crappy investigation. They're going to have. Turning Point's going to have is this really begins to come out and envelops the American people. And it's already happening. You ask someone on the street, well, there's something funny. I don't know that they got to the bottom of it. And this is what you're hearing and what you're seeing. And Charlie's death can't take the martyrdom approach to continue his message. What was that? Nation back to God, free speech for young people, political involvement for young people. With a world perspective that's Christian. That was his mission. And there's a shadow over that mission right now. Now, right now, the sympathy for Charlie and the anger over Charlie is fueling whatever activities TPUSA is doing. But until we come to a final destination of who did it, why they do it, what the real forensics are, we won't have mission, but I keep going back to the key linchpin is Decoy Boy. What would possess anybody who was not a part of the plot to stand up and do this? And by the way, he admitted to the police, yeah, I'm going to get paid for having said that. If that's not conspiracy, taking it out of Tyler Robinson's hands to allow for an escape, I've never seen a better motive. And yet, we know that happened thanks to the local authorities who released it. Now, why would the FBI stop short of doing what they know how to do? It's a good question. Why aren't they answering the questions about where the SIM cards went? Why three people jumped over barriers to disassemble video camera, get SIM cards when everybody else is ducking? They knew they weren't going to get shot. If that's not damning, I don't know what is. Why aren't they covering that? Good question, isn't it? Reminds me of Oswald's missed shot that's struck a friend of Bucky Walters, a sheriff's deputy, standing on the curb. Oh, there was no shot that missed. Sure enough, the guy came forward. Now here, got hit in the cheek on a ricochet from the curb, and they came and cut the curb out, act like they were going to investigate it. But where was it? No, we got rid of it. Why? Because this little 6-inch piece of curb we cut out, it took up too much room in the National Archives. We had to get rid of it. They couldn't have it ballistically traced back to Oswald's gun because it wouldn't have worked. This is the kind of crap we're seeing right now. Now, here's the deal. Charlie was jumping ship. The receipts are there. He wasn't turning on Israel, but he was turning on Netanyahu's imperialism. And he was no longer going to give unqualified support. And Netanyahu reportedly offered him $150 million to toe the line and do what you're told. Charlie says, we're not doing that. That's not our mission. But this is what lobbying groups do in Congress on behalf of Netanyahu. This is why lobbying needs to end. We need America represented. And the Democrats are worse. They support AIPAC. They want illegal aliens to become citizens so they can vote in the elections. They're very clear about that. And America, you're last. We want to shut down the government because you're not giving us the health care for illegal aliens. We need to make them more loyal to us, but we're going to do nothing for America's health care. I could go on and on. You, as an American, are betrayed by your own government. The FBI is in stand down mode with regard to an assassination that was horrific. Horrific. It cut the heart and soul out of a lot of people. The tragedy still looms. Like I told you earlier, I can't even hardly take watching Charlie in action on the old videotapes. I can't. It's too painful. And yet the FBI is in stand down mode. Why? Well, let's get to some motive. If they think Israel's involved and we need Israel's first line of defense, and Israel is a checkmate on nations like Iran, they do fight terrorist groups like Hamas. They do some bidding for the U.S. government with regard to that. It's business we don't have to take care of. We just fund it with military support. But if that was going to change and we're moving in a different direction, and Charlie is so important to capturing the minds of the young that you want to fight for you, but we need Israel, and you're forming this peace agreement that will really solidify peace if Netanyahu doesn't wreck it, and I predict he will, the FBI's hands were tied. Trump probably figures death of Charlie, my friend. I'm sitting in the White House in part because of him. Oh, he's mad. He's mad. And he's spoken out against Netanyahu, who brags he has Trump under control. And Trump is telling him, no, you're done in Gaza. You're done killing. You're done shooting. You're done acquiring territory. You will not occupy Gaza. He said that publicly. I was really shocked. But you notice how they're not following up with Charlie. Let's just assume, for the sake of argument, that Netanyahu's people and the Mossad are complicit with the help of our CIA, George Zinn. We'd lose a really valuable military resource in the Middle East if certain people were exposed. If Netanyahu ever leaves office through public disdain, we may actually get some truth. But until then, potentially more people could die without a peace agreement, and they could be volatile. And if Arab nations aren't going to support Iran, I don't know that I wouldn't do the same thing. And this is what makes the most sense to me. But there are people who just want simple answers to complex problems, Tyler Robinson, and they just ignore the forensics, which are not believable. How about the woman he's seen with afterwards? Going to a Dairy Queen nonchalantly. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Lot to feast on here. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. I wish I had more answers. Just wanted to share with you, this is where my mind goes in these two directions. And perhaps there's a third motive. Maybe aliens wanting to take over the planet and thought Charlie was a threat came from the planet Zetar and took care of business. Come on. How far do we have to go till we start looking at real evidence? The problem is we don't have convincing evidence. Because I'm the first one to admit, I could not get a conviction on Tyler Robinson, not without a kangaroo court. I could not get a conviction on Netanyahu, although even though we have multitude of suspicious and damning behavior, we don't have proof. We don't know. But this is why we have an FBI, and they're clearly in stand-down mode. Throw your hands up and say, this is bullshit, and I agree with you. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. My, do we have some judgmental people? But I've seen that in my Christian faith and walk for a long time. I'm going to be upfront here and I'm going to tell you where we're going with the next two broadcasts. One, am I a believer in the actual ET situation? No, but it can manifest that way because it could be part of the Great Deception. We're going to talk about that in part two of what's coming up today. In part one, in this part, we're going to look at what happened with Voyager in some detail. And it looks on the surface like, hey, you're being warned not to go out there. The aliens are going to get you, kind of thing. I don't think that's what it is at all. I think that's part of the what we call the Great Deception. But I'm going to talk about what happened in Voyager, and it is freaky, and it is a deception. It is very clever, very well concocted deception. But some of you are just, oh, wow. Cool off, rub some ice cubes on me. So judgmental. Because you dare talk about a surveillance system in space? You're not a Christian anymore? Okay, well, what's that old saying from Alaska? The dogs may bark, but the caravan moves on. Be true to the word of God, and he'll sustain you. That's my interpretation. Anyway, enough whining. Let's get down to business. This is going to be a very important two-part series because I am telling you, people, disclosure is at hand. And I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, but it ain't the kind of disclosure that you think, but it could end up with the same kind of results, the same kind of cataclysms. And we're going to get into all of that right here on the Common Sense Show. And it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be concerning. I think it can be fun if you look at it in terms of, wow, we might be seeing biblical prophecy unveil right before our eyes. I'm going to do all that right here. Hey, we're brought to you by my favorite product line. And there's a lot of good ones out there and stuff that I use that works, but this saved my life. And if you're new joining me, and if you're old, bear with me. I had pneumonia and RSV in March of last year. And the pneumonia treated well, steroids and antibiotics, and it was gone. But the RSV, I was in such bad shape. I had fever blisters on my face, my mouth. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. I was sleeping 16 to 18 hours a day. I was making maybe two or three videos. I looked like hell. I sounded worse. And my friend Scotty Sachs said, Dave, I want you to try this. And he threw this out at me right here. And this is the NanoSoma spray. Now, it raises your immune system. It doesn't cure anything. No claim there. But what it does, vitamin C, vitamin D, the nuclear receptors affecting the telomeres. All these things that boost an immune system and create cell longevity. And it works. Scotty said, the maintenance dose, Dave, is five sprays once a day. I want you to do that every hour in the hour. And Sean, who works for the company, good friend of mine, said the same thing. So I said, okay, what do I got to lose? I went to a pulmonologist. He goes, those are lung linings are not coming back. Yeah, oxygen. Lower lifespan. Yeah, it was basically a slow burn death sentence. And my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get my butt in the gym and I'm going to fight this with everything in my fiber. And I hope that God sustains me in this, supports me, and helps me heal. And it worked. Within 2 weeks, I'm walking up those stairs. Okay, within 3 weeks, I'm back in the gym, but at a low level. But I think at least I'm doing something. And if I could do 10 bench presses at 50% of my former max, maybe I could do 12 the next day and then add some weight. And that's the approach I took. And my son was my training partner. And today I'm doing things I haven't done in 25 years, but I needed another assist from this company. I got bone on bone on my right knee, at least I did. And so then he had the NanoSoma gel. and you rub it on the affected area. And I can't tell you how long it'll take you to have the same effect I did. But in 3 weeks, the inflammation stopped. I had to stop playing basketball because my knees would go like this with the inflammation of bone on bone. This puts in pluripotent stem cells. And I believe it because I'm living it. I'm doing things physically now, had a good leg workout last night, but I'm doing things now I haven't done in 25 years. These two products brought me back, and they increased my lifespan for all-cause mortality. Then finally, there's the third part of this triumvirate, and it's the face cream. Fine lines and wrinkles dissipate, and it's good for cuts and abrasions. And I just about cut off my finger the other day, and I've been applying this, and I'm seeing some amazing results. I should have gotten stitches, but this is helping me get through my own ignorance on this. These three together are the three pack. The three pack. And what I mean by the three pack, 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And I'll tell you'll be writing to me about your success story. I get them all the time. Okay, let's talk about what happened with Voyager. I've mentioned this before, but now we have more data. Now I want to have you mindful of something, okay? These are leaks out of NASA and a couple of scientists that have broken ranks verbally, but not necessarily the disclosure of documents now circulating out there in the think tank groups. We did not have AI in the 1980s when Voyager was launched. And in 1987, an anomaly occurred. I've mentioned this before. But an anomaly occurred, and there was kind of a blank out, an absorption of some kind of data. And at the time, NASA didn't have the skills to decipher what that was. They thought it was just intense magnetic interference. And so they let it go. But I think they've known about this for a long time. When AI came on the scene, I believe about 10 to 12 years ago, they knew exactly what they were dealing with. They got an encoded message. Now, it wasn't like, hey, greetings from Alpha Centauri. We're your ET friends. And if you don't straighten up, we won't be your friends very long. That wasn't what I'm talking about here. Let me tell you what was embedded in the message that only we've been able to decipher since last year publicly. I think this technology has been around for about 15 years, but publicly, we couldn't decipher this. Now we can. Embedded in the message is something unique to the planet Earth. It's the Schumann resonance. It's kind of like the announcement of this is our zip code. Schumann resonance is present in our emotional functioning, frequency based. You can't hear it, but we know it exists from studies. And the Schumann resonance is the Earth's harmonic vibration pattern. There's no debate about this. And the Schumann resonance is basically saying, hey, we're from Earth. By the way, you even find it in circadian rhythms. It's incredible that this message had embedded in it the Earth's unique frequency. That got my attention. And the data came in is not binary, but trinary. And the data came in and discovered as a result of AI quantum mechanics. Now, I'm going to give you the far out theory that some of the people now in the think tanks are speculating that they think this is a message to us from our long ahead descendants, right? In other words, a time warped message stuck in a loop. And Voyager picked up on it. I think that's a long shot. But I'm mentioning it because it is discussed. If you research this, you'll find this prominently written about. Physicist from Harvard embraces this. I tend not to think that's what it is. I'm going to tell you what I think it is in the next presentation, in the next segment, but I just wanted to cover what we know for sure. Schumann resonance. Binary to trinary code And then you get into oscillation patterns of prime numbers that we haven't been able to perform until recently. We couldn't have detected it because we didn't have the technology in the 80s. And it looks like the message is saying, just like Oumuamua, we're here. We know you exist. And I had said yesterday about the veil theory, in the part I did yesterday that caused so much controversy in the comment section. And I said, the veil theory says that we're not worth noticing until we do something that's worth noticing. And I likened it to the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, where the actor Michael Rennie played an alien with this AI robot, Gort. And he said, if you take your warlike ways out into space, we will turn your planet into, quote, a burned out cinder. And I'm thinking, is this the kind of warning we could be getting? We're being watched. There's no question. There's no question. But the question is, who's doing the watching? This is what I find really interesting. Who's doing the watching is the key. Now, some people have said, Dave, you're no longer a Christian. I don't know how that disqualifies Christianity because the people that wrote those things have no idea where this is going. Not unless you're telepathic and you're in my mind and you know what lies in the next segment. But there is a message there that you've crossed a threshold. You now have the ability to decode this message. And you're worthy of our attention. Now, I think this is undeniable because not only did you have it in Voyager, as I mentioned yesterday, James Webb, Hubble, and other listening in quotes devices. Now, what's interesting is I don't want to make anyone mad at me because I respect Seth Shostak and his efforts to send radio messages out and monitor is there a return. Or aliens trying to communicate with us. But it could be like we don't use smoke signals anymore. And we know the original tribes in this country used smoke signals effectively, but now we have cell phones, right? We have the internet. So when we look at this, we now have the technology to decipher an advanced message, at least to understand this message is for Earth, because embedded in the message, like a message in a room with a closed door, is the Schumann resonance. That is the most stunning thing that's out there. Now, how do you know out there to my loving critics? How do you know that I think this is ET or alien? You don't. I said we're being watched and we've crossed the threshold of technology. And a message was clearly sent to us from a device that did not have the ability to translate a quantum message like what's happening. Are you saying, Dave, that someone took over Voyager in a millisecond with a message? Yes. When you're in interstellar space or approaching it, you should not be able to manufacture the Schumann resonance, especially since it wasn't part of the programming. And this is what has scientists' attention. And here's the disturbing thing. Never a straight answer, NASA, that's what it stands for. Never a straight answer. They tried to hide this. It's because of leakers that we found out. I think NASA is an evil, evil organization for a lot of reasons I won't get into. And some reasons I can never disclose because I found out information about NASA from astronauts. But unfortunately, it was at private conferences I went to where we signed non-disclosure agreements. I'll just say this, NASA ain't what it appears to be. They're not your friend. They're not on your side. If you're an American, if you're a God-fearing Christian, NASA is not your friend. And I'm saying that definitively with every fiber in my being. They are not to be trusted. They are evil. Now, the one thing I'll remind you of, do you remember the movie with Charlie Sheen from 1997 called The Arrival? And it was the story about aliens that came to Earth. And they would take human form. What agency did they infiltrate? NASA. Was that predictive programming or an observation of what someone knew already was? And they got that inserted into the movie script. Then there's that old cosmic theory that before evil can do evil to you, evil must disclose what's coming. That might fit into that genre, although I don't know that that philosophy is necessarily a true, but a lot of people do believe it. The karmic response, so to speak. I think it might be true, but nonetheless, the arrival really did encapsulate how evil NASA is. And I don't mean every person that works there is evil, but I'm saying their mission is evil. And on the beginning, it's based on deceit. And I'll close with this before we go to the next segment where I tell you what's really behind this. When NASA was created, they worked off the Brookings Institute. And I don't think I can say this too many times because people aren't getting it. And I can tell you from the comments, listen to me clearly. The 1959 Brookings Institute said, if we go out into space and we find things, ET has been here, and we find out the zip code for ET, we can't tell the public. Everything will fall apart. And if we find out, even more importantly, we went out to space in a previous time. We have to cover that up too. And I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying that's what the Brookings report said. The whole aspect of NASA is based on deception. And we've had craft flying in near space orbit for some time. How do I know? Well, in 1997, I saw SDS-48, SDS-72. You couldn't see it anywhere else other than where I saw it, unless you had it in your vault in NASA or you're a member of the CIA. And you had permission to view it. And we had people that leaked, high-level people that were at this meeting. Now that those videos are actually now out on YouTube. I don't know that anyone does anything with it, but we see these military maneuvers in near space orbit. It's us. We're that advanced, and we've been hiding from the public. Need to know. You wonder why America hasn't been nuked yet? Trump said it the other day. We have stuff that I hardly understand, and no one can touch us. He's correct. He's correct. Anyway, next time we get together in the next segment, and I'll follow it up very quickly, I'm going to tell you what's behind Oumuamua, obviously, James Webb, obviously, Hubble, Voyager. We're going to talk about what's behind this? And then you're going to see why I keep bringing in some other aspect into this story. I've introduced it five times since the beginning of the year because I know it's coming. And I think you'll agree after the next segment. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com, and go to the newsletter link upper right hand corner, put in your email address. And you'll get a recapitulation of everything we do for the previous 24 hours. One-stop shopping, over 50,000 people taking advantage of it. And don't forget to check out our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We do a lot of stories like this and geopolitics in our interviews. That's thecommonsenseshow.tv. And we have a Patreon account. We appreciate your support. And we shall see you back here again next time.